It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Unhinged and Immorpho.
I'm Mecca.
Today, we're doing something. We're introducing our names still. Y'all don't know me?
Yeah, we have, well, especially if it's live. Like, we have to say, I'm Mecca. Oh. Now we have to do the whole introduction now. Right.
It's just like, guys, y'all don't know me yet?
I mean, if you're in the screw crew, if you're in Patreon, you should know us. So, that is true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I guess for formality's sakes, for those of you who this is your first time listening, welcome to another episode of Unhinged and Immoral. I'm your host, Jamila.
And I'm Mecca.
Welcome. We are doing something so totally different, but it's going to be consistent now. We have finally cracked the code and figured out how to go live on our YouTube channel while also putting it into our Patreon screw crew.
Right.
Okay. So basically what we're going to be doing, so we record our episodes on Mondays starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do one, take a break, and come back. So right now we're actually doing our second one. I kind of played around because I remember seeing something about going live on Riverside, and I was like, well, let me see. Turns out it's easy as fuck.
Right.
So here we are. What we're going to do is we're going to drop the link to our live recording on Mondays in our Patreon. So all of our Patreon members, you can tap in and be a part of the conversation. You can see the episode before the episode ever hits the air. You can become a part of the motherfucking episode.
That's okay. Even better than the early upload when you could, you know, we could see what y'all saying in the chat. Look at all the screws in the chat. I feel like Kai Cenat. This is fun.
Oh my gosh. This is like, we're streaming.
Oh my God. IRL. We're streamers. What they be doing?
Oh my God.
Literally.
That's so lit.
Okay, well, this is also a perfect episode for this to be. Thank you for loving my hair. They was talking shit about me on TikTok. Oh, the chat gonna be distracting as fuck, girl.
I was gonna say, stop looking at the damn chat. Here you go. Just look at your camera. See, and this is our problem right here.
Okay. We gotta get you like this first episode, you gotta let us get our giggles out. This is fun. We ain't never did this.
Yeah, this is so funny. And I hope you guys are just as fun. Oh, wait, let me see if I can make it. Oh, now
yeah,
I'm
made mine
okay,
big.
Because I wanted to make it bigger. Okay, yeah. Okay, period. Hey, y'all.
We're so, yeah, so we okay. We come on. Let's get there. So this was actually gonna be like our Black History Black History Month episode. We were planning on
our who?
Our Black History Month. Okay. What?
There we go.
I said our Black History episode, which every episode. I'm so excited. No, this is going to be our Black History Month episode where we're going to talk to you guys about some things like how Black are you? Do you do this and do you do that? So this is actually a really perfect episode to have an active chat. Something Jamila asked before we even started recording was like, what is your favorite niche Black film? And I have several.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So there is a movie called The Cookout. And it's not super niche, but it is kind
of... Sodium.
It is kind of niche. There's also a movie with Red Grant. If I remember the title, it's Who Made the Potato Salad? You know what movie I'm talking about? Mm. My dad literally brought it home on like bootleg from the barbershop. Like that's how intense it was. You never heard of that one?
No.
Chat, have y'all...
Too nigger for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has Red Grant in it. That's about as good as it comes.
One of my favorite niche Black films is Pootie Tang.
That's a good one.
I used to be overly obsessed with that movie. Yeah. Like, my sister used to hate that I loved it so much, but I couldn't explain why I loved Pootie Tang so much. I just thought it was so stupid and funny. And whip-a-tie, whip-a-tay. You know what I'm saying? Yes. What's another
undercover brother?
Thing? Honestly, I just undercover brother. That is such a good.
It really is. I feel like
supreme cinema.
Undercover Brother shouldn't even be as niche as it is. It honestly should be a mainstream.
It shouldn't
black
be.
Film.
And I've always said I want a sequel.
Yeah. No. I think.
And I want to be in the sequel.
Oh my God, Eddie! If you see this. Please, make a sequel.
Please, I'm begging.
Like, literally.
I'm begging.
Ugh. The chat's talking about all of the Friday movies. Those aren't necessarily niche, though, I would say.
I was gonna say, Fridays have definitely hit mainstream because they're just so, like, cultural. You know what I will say? If you wanna have all three and you wanna say which one is niche, Friday 2 is the niche one.
Is that the Christmas movie?
That's my opinion. Oh. Nope. Next Friday is when you have Mike Epps and they move to Rancho.
Oh, Cucamonga with Kim Whitley.
Because
with Kim
they won
Whitley.
The lottery.
Yes. Of the three, mm-hmm. I would agree
I
with
think
that.
Of the
that
three,
I would agree with that.
That's the niche mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm.
Someone said Uncle yep. P with Master yep. P. I forgot about that one. Romeo.
I probably haven't.
Yeah, Romeo, familiar. His kids play the kids. Romeo was in it too, playing like, and he come and like, he's a hood cool uncle.
Fat Girls, oh my God.
Pretty Hot and
yes.
Thick.
Yes.
Fat Girls is so good.
Fat Girls is such a good movie. Again, I don't care. And the fact that it came on Oxygen every fucking week, I watched it every time it came on. Such a good movie. I love Monique. And honestly, I don't know, if, you know what I'm saying? Correct me if okay. I'm wrong, please. In my opinion, watching stuff like that and watching Monique specifically, I feel like has trained me to not be fat phobic, because I think obviously like the default is like fat phobia in general, mm-hmm. like most people are, but ingesting a lot of Monique's like stuff and the way that she just embraced herself mm-hmm. and the Fat Girls movie, I'm like, yeah, like I feel like that because I watched that so young, I grew up to not really give a fuck about, and then also just knowing that people be big, like I don't know, like people be forgetting that people be big, like I don't know, I think those two things honestly has made me not be fat phobic like most other people. I probably still am a little bit because most people still got a little bit of that mm-hmm. ism on them. I don't know,
I mean, as the resident fat or former fat, when Fat Girls came out in my fat ass family, it was an event. Like me and my aunts and my cousins, who we were all chunky. My aunties are plus size. Like we went as a group to the movies to see it. And also, I remember when mm-hmm. we went, it was also
it came out in theaters.
I believe so, or maybe it wasn't. It wasn't. It was like a group event. Maybe
I didn't even know.
Did it come out in theaters?
I just
now
remember always
me,
watching it on Oxygen.
It was like
I really don't
well,
know.
I was with my aunties and cousins when I watched it because I remember one of my aunts specifically. She quotes it to this day. Like, Fat Girls gets quoted in my family to this day in terms of, like, thick madam. thick madam. I'm like, thick madam.
And I'm like, I don't know if people know where that comes from. Like, I'm a
thick
madam. Like, I always wanted to be a thick madam.
Like, you know, please, act like you know Sam. So, yeah, love Fat Girls. I also, this is might be TMI. I got sick. The night, this is why I can't remember if it was at someone's house or the movie theaters, because being a little fat girl, I was obsessed with the Lipton green tea. And I had like three of them green teas that night, and I had three hot links. And it was coming out in the front and the back. It was really intense. That is also intertwined with my memories of seeing Fat Girls for the first time. Them hot links were so good, though. I don't regret nothing. I love a hot link. But all my ass was on fire. I think, what was it, like 8 or 9 when that shit came on? You cannot give no 8, 9-year-old child three extra hot links. That should not have happened.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes I just don't really know what else to say, you know. I'm trying to think about some other.
Someone said Akilah and the Bee is niche. Do you think Akilah and the Bee is a niche?
What? Akilah and the Bee was baby, let me tell you about Akeelah and the Bee. Akeelah and the Bee came out in theaters. Akeelah and the Bee was a whole premiere.
Yeah.
Maybe my grandmother took us to Akeelah and the Bee. I will never forget this because she used to always take us to movies. We went to go see Akeelah and the Bee, and then we went to IHOP after. Actually, no, I think we might have went to Denny's. I remember distinctly going to the movie theater to watch Akeelah and the Bee. We was in Beaumont, Texas when we went to go see. That's how long ago that shit came out.
Well, Kiki was a kid.
Ooh, Johnson's Family Vacation. Absolutely.
Is that niche? See, I don't consider Akeelah or Johnson's niche.
Johnson's Family Vacation is niche for is niche in general. I don't think no white person ever in their life has ever even heard of
But no,
of
what
Family
I thought
Vacation.
We were talking about even in but black people.
I was going to say niche within the black spaces.
I wouldn't say that.
I guess I didn't even think of it like that, but I feel like at this point it's no longer niche in black spaces. I think at some point it was, though.
You know what?
But I think because so many people started to talk about it, I think it kind of like reintegrated the space and people like kind of went backwards and started to watch it.
Because when I do this, everyone gets everyone knows this reference when you do this. This is, mm-hmm. So it's like, is it really niche if we all get the reference?
Now we talking. Glamorous Yeri 5874 Silver Brand. If you know, you motherfucker.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
That's a niche ass black movie. Oh, bitch, let me tell you, that is with Lisa Ray McCoy.
Okay.
She goes to prison, an all women's prison, right? And it's very fucking traumatic, right? And I don't know if you remember, and this is why I love TikTok. TikTok makes things become things again. There was a sound that went viral on TikTok. It's from Silver Brand. It's when she was like, she died 2 weeks ago. And she's like, no. That is from Silver Brand because Lisa Ray's daughter died in a shootout while she was in prison.
Oh, that's so
sad. It's not funny, bro. It's not funny. It's horrible. And they end up, so the nigga who played Pinky,
yes,
from Friday, I never remember his real name, but he was also in Woman Without That Loose. So that man, he played a really like evil character in that movie. He was the warden, so he was raping, he was in all type of shit. They end up revolting in the women's prison. They had a whole like riot. A lot of the women died. It's really good though, but it's niche as fuck. And I'm pretty sure that's a straight to DVD type of bip, but that shit was really good. I really enjoyed Silver Brand. It's really.
Someone said Crooklyn, and I think that's a really niche movie too. Create and Evolve.
You think Crooklyn is niche?
Oh, and do you guys know Aria? This is our production assistant.
Oh yes, Aria is tapping in.
Hey guys,
like, who is that? Yes, Aria is our production assistant. She's gonna be tapping in and out. She's also gonna be helping organize the show. You guys are gonna be chatting with her here and there on Patreon. Like she's a part of the crew. Everybody say hey, Aria.
Hey, Aria.
Crooklyn, yeah.
Someone said Holiday Heart. I don't think Holiday Heart is niche. Okay, guys, follow me.
Holiday Heart is niche.
Even in black people?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Everybody gets the holiday.
They might have seen the memes, but a lot of people have not watched Holiday Heart.
I did not know that. Holiday Heart is so good. Yeah. I love Holiday Heart.
Holiday Heart is really good. One of my favorite parts, me, Jazz, and Jelani, we often reference movies all the time. But something, because we have a little bit of that tism in our brain, we always reference parts of movies that nobody would give a fuck about. And it's a specific part in this movie where the little girl, her mama been gone for mad long, and she looks at Holiday, she goes, it's been 3 days, Holiday. And we say that all the time. It's been 3 days, Holiday.
You want to hear a niche movie that actually I watched for the first time with Jamila was Double Platinum. Remember we watched that at Autumn's house? Autumn's parents' house?
Yes. It is my mission to make everybody watch
I'd never seen Double Platinum until like...
It's a scheme that I set
2016.
Up. If you come around me long enough, hey, does anybody feel like watching Double Platinum? That is such a good movie. Oh my gosh. It's inveined. It's embedded into my veins. Olivia. I love it.
Someone said The Secret Life of Bees. Like... I've never seen that to this day.
Ooh. You've never seen Secret Life of Bees?
I remember when it came out, but I never watched it.
That.
Because isn't Alicia Keys in it, if I remember correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. Alicia Keys. Queen Latifah.
Isn't Viola Davis?
And another unknown lady. I don't think Viola's in it.
And the other light-skinned lady who smiles like does she die? Am I knowing this correctly?
She died in the movie, yes. She committed suicide.
Oh, I didn't know it was that. Oh.
Another a statement that we say from A Secret Life of Bees, another one amongst our siblings reference, is going to the wall, man. We say that all the time. You know that trend on TikTok where it's like, you know,
yeah, like you have your sayings.
It's like, we say this when da 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 da. We say that when somebody is like looking sad, acting sad, or they're having a moment, going to the wall, May. Because May in Secret Life of Bees, she would like, she would start crying, go to that wall and write herself a note and write her journal and put that journal entry into the wall. So we always say, going to the wall, May. Going to the wall, May.
Wow.
May killed herself. It's a really sad movie, but it's so good.
I don't know. I think I'm good. I don't want to watch it.
No, it's so good. And then there's another. I love sad movies, guys. I'm so sorry. There's another reference that we saw, and she goes, "I saw a roach." I can't wait for Jazz to watch this shit because she.
The five heartbeats is not niche, y'all. The five heartbeats not niche.
Amongst niggas?
No, it has to be niche amongst niggas. You think so?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I think the five heartbeats might be a little niche amongst niggas. Because everybody ain't seen the heartbeats. Everybody ain't seen the five heartbeats.
I feel like that would be the newer generation. Like, I feel like everyone born...
For sure.
Before the year 2000 has seen the five heartbeats.
Yeah. Younger folks, people my age, honestly, and younger... I don't, like, immediately think they've seen it. But older generations, they've definitely, like, our parents and shit, they've definitely have all seen it. Yeah. For sure. Now she's still grieving, mate.
Shout out to Robert Townsend. You know, that's my twin. He's given us so many good things. Jackie Brown, the mockumentary that he made with Jennifer Lewis, that is a niche. It's like a mockumentary. She's a singer. It's literally so funny. Dolly Parton's in it. Like, it's very niche. It actually just came up on my TikTok, and I watched it when I was a kid, and I couldn't, like, it was one of them, like, core memories unlocked. Like, I said, oh, my God, I haven't thought about that in years. Interesting.
Well, shout out to the niche black films. It's Black History Month. What did Bobby Brown say? Why they gave us the shortest month? It should be Black History Year. We need a whole year.
Bobby!
I love Bobby Brown, y'all. Like, Bobby Brown is actually one of my favorite artists. That's why I dressed up like him for Halloween that one year.
Remember they tried to use that against you when you were getting jumped one time? They brought it up, and it was like...
They did?
Yeah. I saw...
What was their point?
That you were ugly. But then people were in the comments like, this is a Halloween cut.
When I was dressed as... they were trying to say I was
because you were like... I was dressed up as Bobby. That's when you were doing this. And I was like, this is crazy, y'all.
You guys aren't used to people doing their own stunts. You guys have to know this.
Jamila's a stunt queen.
I'm going to do my own stunts. I'm going to do the things. I don't care about looking a fool for the sake of the comedy. Right. For the sake of the joke. I will make myself look a fool if it goes through. You feel me?
I feel you.
So them lame ass bitches can suck a big fat cock. Word to the Caucasians.
Why bitches?
But fuck the Caucasians. It's Black History Month.
Y'all ate with the word cock, but we have to talk about it next month. We can't talk about it this month.
No whiteness will be allowed in my month of Feb. You crackers got to take a seat.
Caucasians to the back. Well, what is the blackest thing that you think that you do on like a day-to-day basis? Like, it could be maybe something you clean your house with, something during your daily routine that's very, like...
The blackest thing I do in my everyday life is make noise unnecessarily. Oh, my God. Jesus. I do this all day long. Shit. Just cussing.
Nothing's going on. Yeah.
Shit. Mm. You know another black thing ass Another black ass thing I do is look out the window.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Looking out the window is very black.
And you don't never open the blinds. You have to lift it up and look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't open. Yeah, no. Exposing. I'm not gonna open. You gotta. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hear.
It's like one day you wake up. The blackest thing that I do, and I noticed it yesterday at church. I don't know when I started calling children baby. Like, I don't know when that happened. I don't know when that transition happened for me, because it happened so naturally. And now I just do it. And I, like, we were filing out of church yesterday, and this little boy, like, ran across me. And I was like, excuse me, baby. And I just was like, it just came out. I said, when did I become?
Showing your
age. Right.
I
said, when did I become?
Showing your age.
You know?
Yes. And subsequently, I call everybody baby. I think that's just the old black country bitch in me. That baby ain't mean no harm. Yeah. I love saying baby. And it's funny because, like, I don't really call men baby.
Right.
And if I do, I say it in the same way that I would say something else, like, calm down, baby. Yeah. Like, I'll say it like that. Not like, oh, baby. Baby.
Daddy?
Now,
am I your baby?
Daddy, am I your baby?
Burning blue. Burning blue.
I will say, like, in the bedroom, I might say a little baby.
Yeah, that doesn't count, though. That doesn't count.
Anything I say in the confines of hunching hours, I don't know that lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't
I'll
know
say
her.
Anything. I'll but say I love you.
No.
I don't give a damn. Shoot me. Shoot me. I don't want to. Yeah. I want to add to the moment. Know. I'm exhilarated.
Okay. Pet names for boys is kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes, is it just a me thing? Or do you feel like different boys require different things? Like, for some boys, it makes sense for me to do, like, pet names. And for other boys, it's kind of like, that's just not, it doesn't flow to call you a pet name.
Yeah. I definitely think sometimes it depends on the person. Because there are girls I've met who, the pet name itself is so ingrained in them that it feels weird when they don't do it. But I'm not that type of person. Mm. So I go off the vibe of the boy. Like, you could be a, like, poo, boo, baby, babe. Like, that's different. Those are different names. And not every man gets those names. Like, I shell them out based on the boy. Because a man who's a boo is not a man who's hey poo, who is not the man who's hey babe. These are all different brands of niggas, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on, like, I don't even know. I don't even have, like, no, I guess, like, thing. Like, it's not, like, I don't have no defined thing or reasoning or rhyme or reason to how and which. It's just, like, it just happens naturally. Like, some guy I talk to, I might be like, oh, thanks, babes. Or thanks, boo. Or I might call him like, oh, hello, darling. Like, I'm good for hello, darling. Like, I don't know. That's just
to a boy.
Like, oh, hello, darling.
When I was fucking with Born in the 80s Crack Baby, this is such a throwback, but he was older. He used to be like, hey, dear. And it was just like,
I like
dear. It was cute. Hey, dear.
Hi, dear.
It was cute.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I usually. Fuck no. Thanks. But on the contrary, I like when all boys call me pet names.
I do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy it. It's very, like,
I've been called my fancy. You're my fancy. And I really like that one. My fancy.
By a Brit or something? Like, Nigerian. Where'd that come from?
My fancy.
I am fancy!
I'm fancy. It makes sense. He also be saying my jollof rice, my pounded yam.
No. Don't call me no bullshit like that. I'd be like, what?
you know, I like the variety.
No, pounded yam, nigga. Don't
well, it's like a shit. It's like a food that they eat.
Nigga, I know what it is. Don't I don't
want to. You know that. What's crazy? There was a boy who had a crush on Sabrina, and he when he saw her one time, he said, "Oh, Sabrina, you look like butter on grits."
Butter on grits is so fucking country, bro.
Like, and he was dead ass too. He really wasn't playing. He said, "Oh, you look
I bet
like
he
butter
was."
On grits. Like, I love the comparisons to food that people like. Like, I really take that as the compliment, you know? A nigga tell me I look like butter on grits. I'm hot shit.
I would crack the fuck up.
No, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Like, what?
Mind you, we're fresh. We're fresh in Houston, okay. So we're not even adjusted to the country shit. We're butter on grits, and that's the only way you eat grits, with butter, salt, and pepper. Happy Black History Month!
And if you're feeling froggy, a little cheese.
If you're feeling fancy, you know. Mm-hmm. I do love a cheesy grit. I ain't even gonna lie. I love a cheesy grit. And
too.
Maybe this is a little bit of my hard ER showing. Maybe my Houston is showing too much. But I unfortunately do love a Henny lemon lamb chop with hookah smoke infused in my face. I enjoy the nigga meals. They are good.
Lamb chops taste like animal.
You don't like lamb chops?
And sometimes I'm in the mood for that, and sometimes I'm not.
What it's,
you know what I mean?
I think it's what they call it. It's gain. It's like that's what you're tasting, the gain.
Yeah.
Wild.
Tastes wild.
Yeah.
Tastes like it was alive this morning.
And I be in the mood for that sometimes. I'll be like,
when it's cooked really well and seasoned very well, you kind of like, you don't taste as much as the game.
Game.
But if it's not cooked very well, you taste all of the game, and it can be very, nasty is the easiest way I can say it.
I don't think I've ever I understand what you're saying. I don't think I've experienced that for myself. Knock on wood. I don't want to.
But you probably also just like the taste. So that's the thing. Like, some people enjoy a gamey taste.
Would oxtail be considered like a gamey situation too?
Not in my opinion. I don't think oxtail is very gamey. If it is, it probably is old.
What's a gamey meat like beside lamb chop? Goat?
Deer. I've heard goat is gamey. I've never tried
goat is good
though.
As shit, bro. I ain't even gonna lie. When I was...
Deer is a little gamey, though. A good deer sausage is
I've never had deer, I'll be honest with you. But when I was in the Caribbean on the ABC Islands, goat is their primary meat. So everything was whatever and goat. And shit, I'm the goat.
I could never get to trying goat. I don't know if I would like it, because I've heard some mixed reviews. And that's the thing. It's one of those things where some people like it really, you know, well, and some people.
Someone said turkey.
Don't.
I like a turkey sandwich.
Turkey is not gamey.
But
though.
I've never really been a. I eat turkey sandwich with like the turkey slices, and then I eat a little bit of turkey and gravy.
Oh, bitch, that is cured meat. That is not the same.
Well, then I've only eat turkey for real on Thanksgiving with some gravy. I don't really just eat turkey like that. Unless it's a turkey neck, because I'll put that in stuff.
I love a turkey neck. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think turkey really tastes gamey, in my opinion. It might. It's a little, I don't know. I don't think it tastes gamey, though. You know what's real good, though, since we're talking about meats and undiscovered meats?
And niggas.
Gator.
That's some Florida shit.
Alligator.
I feel. I've never had gator. My mom has. She said it was good.
Alligator is good. Fried. I've only ever had it fried, but it on God, it tastes like chicken. Like, I hate to be that bitch, but it tastes like chicken. But it tastes like chicken in a way where you bite, you like, that tastes like chicken, but I know it ain't. That's what it tastes like. I can't explain it other than that. You be like, that tastes like some type of chicken, but why it ain't chicken? Something's off. Something's different.
Right.
What's that? Gator.
I've had duck before. Duck also
I've
tastes
had duck
like
too. Game.
Yeah. And I was gonna say,
duck got
tastes
game.
Like it could be chicken, but it's not. Like,
yeah, duck got that game for sure. Mm-hmm. I remember tasting duck. I said, Right. That's duck. Duck will do that. It's weird because it's like, you know how something's not nasty, but it also is not delicious.
That's good. But also not delicious.
I literally tasted duck. I said,
"Oh, someone said Papa Doe's got a good gator bite. I'm gonna remember that for next time I go to Papa Doe's, so I can taste the gators."
First time I ever had alligator was in Louisiana. Actually, the only time I've ever had a gator for real is in Louisiana. Also, swamplands. Yeah. It's, I forgot what city it is, but we always, whenever we're driving through Louisiana to go to Texas or back to Georgia, we always stop at this very specific place that has the Boudin shop. It's been around for, has to be now for 30 years. It's a staple.
To have a drive-thru?
And, like, my parents used to go there. Okay. No, it's not a drive-thru. It's an old, like, just shack, okay. Literally. And they have really, really, really good food. Some of the best gumbo I've ever had. But they have alligator there. And so that's when we first tried alligator. We got some alligator bites. Really, really good. Tender, juicy.
I'm going to have to take my ass to Papa Doe's because now I want to try the gator bites.
Yeah. Papa Doe's is
good. I love Papa Doe's. I love Papa Doe's.
It's one of those good chain restaurants.
Because there ain't too many. Mm-hmm. Papa Doe's, Papacito's. Shit. I ain't been to the Papa's a barbecue place because I'm not too much of a barbecue lady. But
I have this, me and Jelani have this disdain for barbecue, and it's so weird because I actually do like barbecue, but at the same time, I hate
yes, it. We're here.
Like, the thought of barbecue alone makes me want to vomit, but if my daddy is cooking barbecue, I bust it down. I don't know what it is.
Listen.
But I also really hate barbecue restaurants.
It's so crazy.
Specifically barbecue restaurants, I hate them.
This might be why we're soul sisters, because I don't like barbecue restaurants, but if my uncle Ken is barbecuing, I'm going to show up. That nigga barbecues the fuck out some ribs, and he makes his own barbecue sauce. Bitch.
I truly believe that barbecue was never supposed to enter into the restaurant business. Barbecue was always supposed to be a home food, a cookout food. It was never supposed to enter into the mainstream as restaurant cuisine.
Yeah.
It ain't right.
Yeah, no. I'm agreeing because right I've never went to a barbecue restaurant and liked what I had. But I know if my uncle is...
It always tastes like smoke.
You know? Now, y'all tell me...
And can't nobody do what my daddy do on that grill.
If y'all
I'm so
tell
sorry.
Me Ken is barbecuing, I'm going to show up. That's all you need to know. If my uncle's barbecuing, I am going to show up. I'm going to tear it up. But in a general sense, when people be like, do you like barbecue? No, not really. Not at all.
Don't ever, if I ever say I'm hungry at you ever in your fucking life, suggest me go
someone said barbecue chain restaurants are an MLM scheme.
Oh, God, they're disgusting, bro. The meat be dry. The barbecue sauce be overly motherfucking tangy. The mac and cheese is ass. The green beans come out of a motherfucking can. This it be Bush's baked beans, bitch. Get the shit out of my fucking face. No. No.
Some things have to be made at home. I 100% agree that.
Yes, I need it at home. I need it at home. What else is about some black... What are some black history facts that you like? Are there any random black history facts that you want to...
A black man created the stoplight.
Mm-hmm. Indubitably.
A black woman, I believe, created the ironing board. My mom had this book growing up that had all the facts of just like everything that had been invented by black people. I know she still has it. And so during Black History Month, she would always bring it out. And those are some. So the stoplight, I always remembered because it's like we see stoplights every single day.
For sure. The light bulb as well.
Jack Daniels.
Thomas Edison is really just the first to
Nearest created that formula. Amazing. George Washington Carver famously created peanut butter, but he created 100 different uses for the peanut in general. I think we remember him for peanut butter, but it wasn't just that. It was 51 things, you know. A black man created the... essentially the water gun. Yeah.
Shout out to him. I've had many a fun childhood memory.
Yeah. Or what was it? It's not a super soaker. Super soaker specific. Super specifically soaker. The super soaker.
Come on, super soaker. y'all was not there for the Super Soaker.
Super Soakers used to go and up.
I remember when my daddy bought us a Super Soaker. I literally remember when he bought us a big ass Super Soaker. We used to have this big ass inflatable pool in Beaumont. Oh, we had some really good memories in Texas, y'all, before things got weird.
It was the reminiscing. It was the
childhood.
I remember the first time I had a Super Soaker. I got to play with it. It was at a church picnic, and what they always used to do, again, so fucking black, at the church picnic in the summertime in California. You know what's hot as fuck?
Yo,
they had the water balloon fights and actually, the Super Soakers. We used to tear it up.
To be honest, that is so black because do white people have?
I don't know. Picnics? Do they?
Do white people have vacation Bible school?
I am a CH.
Do white people have children's choir?
I think they have children's choir. I do think they have.
No way.
No have way you seen the?
Do white people have pastor's anniversary?
Mother's Day service? Father's Day service? Men's Day? Women's Day? Youth Sunday.
do white churches have junior usher boards?
Kev just said this. White people do not be having, and as a victim,
there's
as
no
a victim
way.
Of the junior usher
board. Do y'all have mine? Do white people have dance ministry?
No, because miming.
No way y'all have.
And the miming y'all got, is different.
I don't see how white people, and now that I think about it, I don't even understand how white people are so evangelical because y'all church be boring as shit. Like, I can understand how black folks get really inundated with church because church used to get fun.
It did.
You know, outside of the propaganda and outside of the homophobia and the misogyny and the all the other stuff that we got, church used to be a hoot. White people, why do y'all love God so much? y'all be bored as shit. What about y'all's Christianity really got y'all locked in? Because I've been to a white church before. I've never been more bored in my motherfucking life. And I knew I was in the wrong place when it was time for their choir to sing and they pulled out a motherfucking CD player. I said, get me the fuck up out of here, bitch.
A CD player is crazy.
What the fuck is this?
Our God is an awesome God.
I said, that's not how that go. He reigns. Where is the instruments, y'all? Where's the choir director? Are there any crackers in the chat? Good. I'm playing. I just wanted to know. Any of y'all go to white churches? Do they have these things? I've never heard of historically white. And I'm not talking about them non-denominational big-ass churches. No. I'm talking about traditional cracker churches.
They do. I was watching a crime show. The white Christians ended up killing somebody. Spoiler alert. But they had a lot of footage from their white church. And they did, like, purity balls. They went to Christian summer camp.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible. Sounds like conversion camp.
Conceptually, very on par, I would believe. They definitely do things different than I would think that black people do. But, yeah, I always say this. I would never downplay anyone's church hurt. I personally don't have any. I used to have a lot of fun at church because of all the activities that we have. And also, I think part of it is growing up and knowing and being able to laugh at all the shit that's honestly hilarious that goes on at church. Like, when you're not being traumatized, the shit do be funny as fuck. Like, I went to a church specifically, which, again, this is like when Shawnee O'Neal's husband, Keon, was like, stop, to that lady who was going crazy. Churches be having that one person.
Bro, that clip is so fucking funny, bro.
Because it do be that one lady who do it every single week. You are this is a performance.
Because you are dragging it.
It's like, and niggas know you be dragging it, but you gonna drag it. Drag it because I need to see it like I see it every Sunday. We need to have something to talk about in the car on the way home. Okay. My favorite part of service was always when they would open the doors of the church and you could make a testimony, and people, you know, black Christians do not believe in the therapy.
Would tell their business.
Business, bitch. That was my favorite part of church.
You used to be like,
nigga, one time this man got up there and told the church he had cheated on his wife. His wife sitting right there.
I told this story before, I believe, on this pod, but it's a long time ago. I don't think I've said it on the pod. I think I made a video about it. We were in church. When I tell you, this was one of the gaggiest things that has ever happened in church. We were in a season, and this is also very black. I just know for a fact that white people don't do shit like this, because this is just some shit that niggas would think of. We were in the process of switching pastors, and because we were switching pastors, bitch, they had a whole motherfucking election. They were trial. Every pastor would get a week or a couple weeks trial, and then the usher board and the old mothers of the church and the deacons.
That is a black thing. Like my mom was on ours. Yeah, that's black as shit.
So we were in that span of time where we were going through different pastors and giving everybody their little moment to mm-hmm. go, right? And it had been one pastor was, everyone really liked him. He was a member of the church. He was on the deacon board. His wife was the choir director. It made so much sense, right? And he was really good. One of the best things about him was he was a really quick preacher. If you know, we was like, oh yeah, baby, we'd be out in time. Like, yes. So everybody wanted him to be the pastor. And we was honestly like prepping to like make him the pastor. Baby, one time he got his ass up on that pulpit. He said, I can't lie, church, I've made some mistakes, and I cannot in good faith be the pastor of your church. I must be honest. Me and my wife are getting a divorce. We have been living separately. Bitch, she's sitting up there like this after she didn't just finish doing the choir director,
she didn't know he was gonna do it.
She did not. She had no idea he was going to do this, bro.
I'm crying,
baby. When I tell you, everybody in the church, like, I kid you not. After that church service, we messy. Me and my family, we're messy. So we going. Oh, what you think happened? He cheated. I already know. Come on, what y'all think? When I tell you, this man, they got divorced and he got remarried to a white woman in less than 6 months. He's still married to her too.
Sounds like it was his soulmate if they still married.
I said, ooh. That right there. Ooh. I love church business.
Yeah, like it gets.
Shit used to be fun.
It gets intense.
White churches, do y'all have a kitchen in the back?
Well, yeah, because they eat snacks at church, too. So I would think they do have a kitchen. You need a kitchen.
No, they don't.
You need a kitchen.
They don't.
They have to have fellowship halls. And in the fellowship hall, there's a kitchen.
White people do not have fellowship halls.
Is that?
They just got pews.
Pew, pew, pew.
White churches don't got fellowship halls because they don't fellowship. Because they're not community-based. They don't got no mother in the back cooking up some greens.
You know what would be my favorite thing? Our youth ministry would do a store every fourth Sunday after for Youth Sunday. So it would be hella candy and shit you could buy after church so that we'd have money to do shit.
Somebody said yes, but it's not used. It holds the Starbucks. See what I'm talking about?
Oh.
What the fuck is you talking about? Coffee bars? See
no,
what
they
I'm saying?
Order little.
They got, that ain't no
they
fellowship
order
hall.
Little Caesars. Oh, coffee bars. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's very Caucasian.
That's interesting. I've never heard
that's
of that.
That's very Caucasian. One thing about it, bruh, it was like if there's if we go with the standard, there's four Sundays in a month, right? Three out of the four, you can guarantee there was food in the back.
Yeah.
Because there was always something going on. Like we said, it was always past anniversary, church anniversary, women's day, men's day, double service, revival, all of the things. And so there would be, girl, when I would walk in there and I would smell that chicken in the back. Oh, thank God, because I'm hungry already. Walking, God damn it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Little, you know.
Yes, honey.
Basement kitchen, depending on where you're from. In California, we don't have basements, so the fellowship halls are, you have your church, and the fellowship halls are usually behind the church or on the side of church, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved, I do know that the church is more so on the East Coast and in this area due to basement fellowship hall. Yes, I'm aware. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you decorate the fellowship hall to go with whatever color
we've picked for Women's Sunday, Mother's Sunday. You know, so if everyone's wearing red in the choir, the church is wearing red, they would put red streamers and whatnot up in the fellowship hall, make it look nice and pretty.
I loved when it would be like women's, I'm going to do a reenactment of exactly how choir rehearsal would go the week before Women's Day. Okay. This is my reenactment. Next week is Women's Day. Mm-hmm. What are we going to wear? Can we wear white? We're not wearing white. It's not first Sunday. Okay, we're not wearing white. It's not first Sunday.
Can we wear purple?
Can we wear yellow? We're not wearing yellow because we wore yellow last Women's Day. We're gonna wear red. Okay, we're gonna do red. If you don't have red, ask somebody for red. Okay, anybody know what songs they want to sing? I already got a couple that we're gonna do. We're not doing Total Praise, so don't ask.
Why aren't we doing Total Praise?
We don't have enough sopranos.
No fair.
I'm thinking we do every praise. Okay, we're gonna do every praise. We're gonna also have the praise team out there to get things started. We're not gonna have the deacons do altar call because we don't have time for that. And it's Women's Day, so we're gonna have all women's
What about Now Behold the Lamb?
This ain't Christmas.
I knew you was gonna
the Christmas program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Thank you. Make sure you wear your red. We're gonna do a procession, okay? What we're gonna do is we're gonna have the doors of the church open right when it's time for the choir. Now, we're gonna do a two-step coming out through the aisle, okay? And then when you get to the front, we're gonna alternate. You go this way, you go this way. And we're gonna alternate till we all get up on that pew, okay? Thank you. Mother Mary says she's gonna cook a little something, so make sure everybody bring what they need for the kitchen, for the fellowship hall. We gonna go right after the program, after pastor get done, after the Benedict, pastor's gonna open the doors of the church. We gonna pray for the food. I do need somebody to pray. Thank you. I think that the mothers of the church truly enjoyed facilitating things. It would be nothing to facilitate, but the act of the facilitation, they just got so excited about organizing stuff. We ain't doing that. Mm-mm. Telling people no was their favorite thing to do. Mm-mm.
You also got to remember a lot of them were like retired, so this was their socialization.
This was
like
the
they took it serious. Yeah,
only thing they had to
so
do.
It was a very serious business for them. It wasn't a game.
Very serious business.
As a victim of the junior usher board,
I never wanted to be no usher.
I didn't last long. I'll say that much. I hated it. Cause it's like I got to stand up the whole time, but then there would be the part where pastor would start preaching where they would let us sit down. And then it was like, I would always get so bored and start looking down. It was just bad. And then we would have to walk up, and then my legs would get tired. And then we had to hold the things, and my arms would get tired. And then it was just so much. But the only reason I wanted to join Junior Usher Board was because we are soldiers. And this is so black, that hard ass turn. In the army, we have to fight. Oh, and then someone has to catch the O for the ad lib. Oh, although we have to try, we have to hold up the. Yo, I used to be hitting the fuck out that turn, the bloodstained banner.
Why does that sound like the Alpha Kappa Alpha song?
Well, I ain't no Alpha Kappa Alpha, but I was a junior usher. We have to hold
Somebody
it up until we die. Oh, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight. Oh, although we have to cry, we have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. You never heard that?
I've heard that.
Well,
melody.
Let me tell you. And they took it from the church.
Which I was about to say.
They took it from the church.
Yo.
That has me screaming. I've never heard that before outside of...
The hell y'all got... And that's why them GDIs be, what is it? Denounce it, because y'all are overlapping shit.
Somebody said, let me find out. That's where the AKA him come from. No, I'm crying, bro. That's funny as fuck.
Yeah, no, on dead homies, it really might be, because that's like an old church hymn.
It probably is shit.
Shit. Well, the more you know.
I'm crying. That's funny as fuck, bro. I'm screaming. Damn, I was about to say something, too. I can't remember. Fuck. My train of thought has escaped.
Someone said
me.
We need to bring back church hats. I believe the same.
Bring it back. Wear one come Sunday.
I believe the same. I think you have to be a certain age to wear train. I'm not quite. And also, I think the requirement is you either have to be 35 plus and or a mother. I don't know why I've decided that in my head. But church hats, especially since we're in a day and age where hats in general, because remember, like, obviously in our grandmother's days, everyone wore hats. Everyone doesn't necessarily wear hats now. And when you see hats, it's always on older people. So for me, it's like, and even when I was growing up, young people didn't necessarily, like, even younger women in their 30s didn't really wear church hats unless they were like the pastor's wife. There was like a station in life you were in that went with the church hat. The church hat gives like, you have authority in some way.
That's a slave hymn. It probably is. You know us, all them hymns, where they come from now.
You know. Someone said that's my favorite Usher song, Mecca. Thank you, because it's an Usher song.
Ryan.
It's an Usher song.
That's so fucking funny.
Listen, well.
I definitely never wanted to be Usher. I actually hated Ushers. They were always mean and... You know what I'm saying? It's just like, bro, Ushers always took their jobs a little too seriously for my liking. They'd be sitting up there like, don't come late to church, bitch. The usher holding that door like this. They're praying. Come on. Sit down. Damn, bitch. God, like, bitch, they hold that door like.
Because you can't walk in while someone is praying.
It was just the manner in which they would do it. You know, I told you, them old blacks love to say no. Not right. Wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The new ushers aren't aggressive enough for me. I'll be honest with you.
They still got ushers in these newfound.
A lot of them churches don't, but the ones that.
Do they still wear the usher uniform? Do they still wear the gloves?
At Wheeler, they have a uniform. They don't wear gloves, though. They just wear a little blazer.
See what happens? All these non-denominational, we are not black churches. We are for everybody. See, they losing recipes. They ain't got no usher uniform. They ain't got no white gloves. They not walking around with their hand behind their back. They not walking around mean and stern.
Mean and surly. Shout out to Kingdom Come. That's not a niche black film. I feel like Kingdom Come is kind of niche. Is it niche?
Niche
is
black.
Is it?
I would say niche black. I don't think every black has seen Kingdom Come.
Lord, take me now!
Great movie, but I don't think that everybody has seen it, for sure.
Damn.
I've never met a sweet usher. Never in my goddamn life, bro. Ushers were meant to be bitches, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well...
One of my favorite things growing up too was when it was time for offerings, and there was two different styles. So when I went to a larger church, the ushers would come and pass the collection plate to you. But when I was at this smaller local church, baby, you gets up and you walk your ass up to that thing where they got the two deacons like this.
And that was my fashion show. That was. Girl,
can I say as I was in high school, when I used to think I was thick, baby, I used to walk up to that offering plate like,
and then don't let the boy who you think is cute be there that Sunday. Oh,
Oh, fuck yeah, my back is poked. You ain't gonna tell me nothing, girl. Bow now.
There was this lady who used to go to our church. She was really thick. We used to actually call her tight dress because she would always wear a tight dress to church. And when I tell you, every time it was time for offering, them deacons would stare at that fat ass every time she was going. I used to stare too, like, damn, because she would be bow, 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 and drop her little change in there.
Baby, I ain't have nothing to put up. Let me put a quarter. That's what I just need to be seen.
Exactly.
Well, let's spin it. All right, guys, this is our segment, Spin It. Now, it's where y'all send y'all nasty, lowdown, gutter snipe situations in for Jamila and I to give some advice and a bit of a PR spin. Now, keep in mind, Jamila and I are not PR professionals. We just study communications in undergrad, and we really like talking about it. Email at unhingedanymoralpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to send your name, your age, your sexual orientation, your political affiliations, and if you're a man, please send your height. Jamila, what do we have this week?
Okay. Now, again, another disclaimer, guys. Some of these spinets were sent a long time ago. Yeah. So the advice we give may have expired. However, understand that, you know, we're just trying to catch up and things like that. And we still want to get to all of them. Like, we want to do our best to actually read all of them. So, and I'm trying to go backwards, like trying to start go from the latest to the earliest. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of make sure I don't miss anything. So anyways, this was sent in March, just FYI, because I don't know if they're going to say anything like timely. Anyways, let's get to it. Hey, ladies, I need your help real bad. But first, I want to express my gratitude for your podcast. I've been tuning in to both of your TikTok accounts. I would listen to them like a pod. So best believe I'm fully tuned in to Unhinged and Immoral every week. Thank you so much. I'm turning 28 next week, so happy birthday to you.
Because you're already 29.
Right. Happy birthday again. I'm at a point in my life where everything finally feels balanced. Career, friends, faith. My little cousins live with me now. So shout out to Mecca for coining the term muzzin. Everything feels balanced except for my dating life. I was in a relationship from 2021 to 2023. But have been dealing with my ex on and off up until a few months ago. I ran into this guy who I knew through mutual friends. He's Black, East African specifically, at a bar in Augusta. And he ended up asking me on a date. In the past 6 months since then, he's exhibited some controlling behaviors, getting mad that I wore my old Hooters uniform as my Halloween costume, doesn't like me going out even though I don't go out often, not wanting me to take an opportunity to make extra money as a brand ambassador for All-Star Weekend, and said I should ask him for money instead, make a joke about me finding another nigga on a work trip, etc. Wouldn't speak to me for days, come back and apologize, and we'd give flowers, then cycle starts over again. I've dealt with it because he's consistently kind, sends me gifts, flowers all the time, and he's gotten better communicating. And honestly, I've just gotten comfortable with him. But I'm starting to realize that this situation isn't right for me, and I'm losing interest. Mind you, we've been dating for 6 months, and he has not asked me to be his girlfriend, but we're technically exclusive. He's clearly head over heels for me and has made it clear he doesn't see his life without me in it. We planned a weekend trip to Arizona months ago for my birthday, coming up, Aries gang. But I'm beginning to feel hesitant and thinking about backing out of the trip. He came over the other day, and I instantly did not feel the same chemistry that I felt before, and low-key got the ick. Do I go in this for my birthday for the vibes, or do I break it off for good? And if I break it off with him, how do I spend it? I appreciate y'all's input and perspective to help me spend this. Thanks a ton. Well, considering this was almost a year ago, I would hope that you're no longer dealing with your East African prince.
And I hope you didn't go on the birthday trip.
But with all that in mind.
I do want to put a disclaimer out here. I think that your culture does not make you controlling, but your culture can have an influence on you being controlling. And I think sometimes when we as American women date or American men just date people who are not from America, the cultural standards are very different. And so as someone who has East African people in my family, and I know how those men carry themselves, in terms of I'm manly man, head of the household, you know, like that is from what I've seen. I can't speak for everyone in my family. That is I would say that's on par. I would say that is sounds like that. With that being said,
I don't think you should be with no nigga who not gonna let you do you. If you not gonna disrespect him, if you wearing your Hooters costume for Halloween, you don't want me to wear it. Niggas who do that type of shit, you need to change. Boy, fuck you. Like, I don't even play like that. So off the strength of that alone, I'd have left the nigga alone. But you followed up with multiple examples. My concern would be, is that finna escalate? Because I do think that there are signs, and obviously we're never victim blaming, but we as women, especially, and even men, because men experience domestic violence as well, have the tendency to downplay red flags when they are blaring in our face. And some shit is only going to escalate. And if someone needs to have that much control over you and what you're doing and where you go, and why don't you ask me for money, that's making you dependent on him. That's overall, and fuck the fact that he's East African. If any man did that, I would say I'm concerned and I think you should leave that nigga alone. So PR spin how to break up with him. Well, babe, this is where you gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. You haven't made me your girlfriend. It's been 6 months. I would use the fact that he was African against him, because one thing about it, them boys are taught, you know, you lock in, you settle down, you get married. There is an end goal to this shit. So I would just say, you say you so traditional. You've been stringing me along for 6 months. You clearly not serious about me. And so I can't, I no longer have the time and the capacity to wait around for you. I would gaslight the fuck out that nigga.
Okay. So I'm operating as if you sent this letter yesterday.
Right.
Obviously. But I really hope that you listen to this, because I genuinely want an update of all the things since this has happened, since it's been so long. Like, I really want to know all the things that has happened since, because I know
some things happened.
Some things happened. Yeah. and I know one of those things is here. All right, so let's get to the meat and potatoes. For me personally, I do not play with controlling men, period. And this comes from experiencing controlling men. You show me one instance of you trying to control me in any motherfucking way, and I'm out of there. I do not like, and I do not ascribe to very, very overly traditional roles. So that's also something to keep in mind. If you do, that's on you, and that's a personal decision. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying I do not ascribe to very traditional gender roles, me personally. So some of the things you were saying, I'm instantly like, oh, fuck that nigga. Like, nigga, who are you talking to? I don't do that. I don't do that. Now, if you are a very, very, very traditional lady, given very much Nara Smith, and maybe you like your nigga picking out your outfits, then do you, boo-boo. But it don't sound like you like that, because you would have never brought it up as an issue. So, case in point, a lot of the times what we will do as women is we will accept certain things because we feel like other things are still good, and we just want the man. We just want to be off the market. But those small things that you're letting go is actually big things, right? Because it's showing a part of his character that is not compatible with you as a person. And so over time, that is going to continuously knock down and crack at the foundation of y'all's relationship, and it's going to end very badly. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to result in an abusive, whether that be physical or emotional relationship, but it's absolutely going to result in a fucking horrible, miserable relationship, because you're going to feel like you're just constricted, right? And there's no room for freedom. Now, as far as what you do, as far as what you could do, if you want to have your cake and eat it too, is get you another nigga. I don't know why we have to say that every goddamn week. I know that y'all are quote unquote exclusive, but that's not
your nigga. You're not his girlfriend.
Listen to me and listen to me clearly. If that's not your nigga, it's not your nigga, which means you are not in a relationship, which means you're single, which means you can talk to whomever you want to. And I guarantee motherfucking tea that nigga is doing the same. I promise you, the niggas who are overly controlling before you in a relationship and then try to say you're exclusive but you're not in a relationship are the exact niggas that have bitches on the side. They're the exact niggas that got bitches on the side. So what I say to you is absolutely go on that goddamn birthday trip and make that nigga spend every goddamn dime, since he want to be so motherfucking traditional, since he want to be the one talking about some, yeah, you should ask me for money. Well, ask that nigga for some money then, if that's what you want to do. And while you do that, I got me a nice ass nigga on the side who also got that nice ass dick too. just to keep you humble, just to keep you level. Sometimes you gotta remember that there's other niggas on the side, right? But I do think that eventually you need to leave that nigga alone, because like, that's not your man. Like, that's not gonna be your husband. Because if it was, you would have never wrote us this letter.
It's not your husband.
And this is for everybody listening. The moment you think you gotta write a letter to anybody, whether that be us, whether that be Dr. Cheyenne, whether that be what was that nigga name who was doing all that relationship shit?
Oh, Kevin Samuels.
Kevin Samuels. The moment you think you got to start asking questions about your relationship, like, should I leave him? The answer is yes, probably. Yeah. Probably. Unless you're the problem, which at that point, you know what I mean?
But I support women's rights and wrongs. So, you know.
Yeah, I say go on the birthday trip, have a good time, because it's like, okay, you wanted to take me out on this birthday trip. Who am I to deny myself of a good time for my birthday? Why would I do that? And explore your options. Yeah. And sometimes you got to check a nigga too, because sometimes niggas are just doing shit because they think they can.
That's real.
Sometimes niggas are just pushing their boundaries. Never be afraid to, and if you are afraid, then that's a whole other conversation.
And you shouldn't go on the trip.
But never be afraid, right? Never be afraid to tell a nigga, hey, I don't like that. And it doesn't have to be a confrontation. It doesn't have to be like this huge argument. Like, say if a nigga, I don't know, like, for example, let's use the Hooters outfit or whatever. Say he be like, oh, nah, I don't want you to, hey, I'm going to tell you this right now, because, you know, we're still getting to know each other, so I understand we don't really know all the things, but I don't like for people to tell me what I can and cannot do, especially as it relates to my bodily autonomy. So,
no.
If that's something that you think you're going to continue to do, I can let you know this right now. That's not going to work for me. But I respect how you come, and if that's how you're going to come, I promise you there's a lady out there who likes that.
I promise
you. I'm not
you.
One of
it
them.
It is. I promise you. She's not me, though.
Because believe it or not, there are bitches out there who absolutely like for they nigga to tell them what to do.
A lot. Not me, but there are a lot. And I'm sure you won't have no problem finding them, my East African king.
You know what I mean? That's not really my tea. That's not what I'm doing. But you know what I'm saying? It's some ladies out there that really enjoy that. And so good for them. I'm not one of them bitches though, Nicole.
And you could say that and be done with it. You ain't even gotta say nothing crazy. Just say, no ma'am. No sir.
And the thing that be happening is like sometimes niggas will say something and we just kinda kiki it away. Like, so you be thinking niggas be playing and they be dead ass like, where you going with that on?
I was going to say, meet to the club, to the bar, to the spot, Edo.
Let me tell you what you should be hearing, okay? Wow, you look so good.
Damn.
Let me see. Hold on. Back up. Let me. I like the way you put that with that. That looks really good. You look really nice. And the thing is, I don't necessarily mind a man giving me input about what I'm wearing, but not in the sense of trying to tell me what to wear based off of purity. I don't like that. Because I have a guy that I've talked to who likes fashion or whatever, right? And it's like, oh, like, this is my outfit. Oh, like, you know, I don't know what shoes were. You know, something like that. Like, that's completely different. I think that's cool because that shows a level of interest because now you're being very attentive to me and, like, you really want to see me win, right? Not versus you want me to just cover up because you feel like you own me.
Fuck you, nigga!
This is my titties. These is my titties.
Yeah.
And if you was Miss Hooter before you met the nigga, bitch, you gonna be Miss Hooter after.
Don't let that nigga change you.
Why do y'all be changing up? Never mind.
Well, you know why they be changing up. But we're not gonna get into all that. Because we already had an hour and six. That's gonna be another hour.
I already told you, I'm not a relationship expert. I'm really not.
Not at all, y'all.
I just think that I have, you know what I'm saying, some things I just agree with, some things I don't. You know what I mean? And that is one thing that I do not agree with. And even when I was in a very controlling relationship and a nigga did try to tell me what to wear and what not to wear, I never actually did it.
Fuck. You was just disobedient.
Like, nigga, fuck. Like, nigga just gonna have to yell at me. Bitch, I'm wearing what the fuck I wanna wear. Like, and you know what it is, though? You know where that also comes from? For me specifically, I did not experience that growing up from my parents. So what the fuck makes you think I'm going to experience that from a nigga? My parents were not overly controlling about what I wore. And I was a little fast. When I say a little fast, now, pause right there. I can call myself fast. Yeah. We do not need to be calling other little girls fast for no reason. I am using it in a very colloquial way to describe myself as a Kiki. Don't get too excited. Anyways, I was fast. So I like to wear short shorts. I wanted to wear crop tops. I wanted to do the things. And while I'm sure my parents may have been uncomfortable here and there, kind of just like, bitches really doing too much, they did not overly police my outfits in that way. And they kind of just let me express myself. Now, granted, I definitely think there were limits. Like, I there were limits, and I knew the limits.
Yeah,
you know, I knew my parents. Okay, I knew good and goddamn well I wasn't walking out titties out. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, because, you know, there was still a level of childness that I had to adhere to, because at the end of the day, as grown as I was trying to act, I knew that I was a child, and I knew the child that my parents were raising. And one thing my parents were very, very adamant about was, you gonna be a child, and high school is still a child, right? But as you get older, it changes. The way that I was dressing in high school is not the way I was dressing in elementary school. Mm-hmm. It just is what it is, right? And so because of that, I think it allowed a lot of, like, expressive freedom for how I wanted to present myself. And so I think that that also kind of plays into why I'm so very adamant about a nigga not telling me what to wear. Because it's like, I didn't experience that from my fucking parents, bitch. Like, what do you mean don't wear this dress because it's too short? My pussy's not out. Like, and if it was,
you know, someone should said, I was 14 when Uncle Luke and the Two Live Crew came through. The streets were on fire.
Oh, you was
shout fast. Out to the star child. So fast, right? Fast. Listen, we was at the middle school dancers throwing butts, child, just musty and hot and throwing butt, girl. So, to lose my breath by Destiny's Child. So, you know, it is what it is. We have to experience these things for ourselves as kids, but within limits, like Jamila said, you know, there are limits. You don't let children be in the place of adults. But sometimes if you go to school and then you roll your shirt up at school, you don't necessarily do it in front of me. I'm okay with that. I think the funniest thing, one of the funniest things little moms ever did was, I could tell when she got home her shirt had been rolled up all day because it had that crinkle. But you see how
he was up there showing belly. Oh.
But you see how when she got home, when I got to her, it had been pulled down. And I just said, the kid is all right, you know. All right now. But at school, she had had that thing rolled up to the back because it was, I said, with your shit rolled up? And she had the extra little scrunchie on her hand. I was just observing all the things. I said, oh, the kids are all right. All right now. And I think that's what, it's about. You have boundaries with your parents, but you got to or as a child. Well, do we have any church announcements? Actually, let me just say this. The live chat has been delightful. I love this. This is our first episode with a live chat. This is for our Patreon subscribers, so we can try and involve y'all in the episode and get y'all over to our Patreon. And I got to say, y'all's input on this episode has been so fun. Thank you so much for everyone who's been in here chatting with us. And it's also like, y'all get the episode so far before y'all's schedule will be so far before everybody else's, because you think we record on Mondays. So next Monday, whatever, these niggas still on the Thursday. You on the whole next shit. Yeah.
Yeah, like you locked in with us. Yeah, this was real. I'm glad we figured it out. Like, it's so easy. It's not even something that's like super, super difficult or hard to maintain. I'm thinking, well, we may add some tweaks here and there just as we kind of like really learn the process of this. But I think honestly, this went very well. This was really just like a trial error. And I really enjoyed it, especially since we were kind of talking about like very specific stuff as far as like your favorite blah, 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 like having you guys add your thoughts in there too. Like that's really been fun. But yeah, we definitely want to continue to do this, and it'll be, so right now, of course, we went live via YouTube. So I do think that anyone who has subscribed to our YouTube channel may have gotten like a notification. Cause I know sometimes, especially if you have your push notifications on, it'll let you know, like somebody's going live, da, da, da. So some of these people, some of y'all in here may be, Patreon members, and some of y'all might be coming straight from the YouTube. Actually, let me know which of y'all, 97 of y'all who are watching currently, which is pretty big number. I did not expect this many of y'all to be on here. Are y'all coming straight from YouTube? How did y'all see that we were live? Did y'all see it via the Patreon? Did y'all see it via YouTube? Were you on our TikTok live earlier? Let us know. We're trying to get a little market research.
Yeah.
A little market research.
But nonetheless, thank you for watching. This was so, like, I'm excited for future episodes because this is such a good addition. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Aria. She's been in the background, kind of little research assistant tease, yes. You know, coming in with some facts. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon. $8 a month. What else do we have coming up? Oh, we keep saying this, but we're actually planning. So, okay, so they're saying they saw it from YouTube. Then we have some Patreon members. Okay, so it's mostly YouTube, but Patreon in there as well. You guys, we are in the process of planning a live show, which is super, super duper exciting. So stay tuned for those dates. I know, I feel like we've been saying that for so long, but we're actually planning it this time.
Yes, we have the... Y'all just don't even know. So much has happened, occurred, that has went into why our live show getting pushed back. But I think, you know, everything happens for a reason, so I'm not mad at it. But yeah, we're in the process of planning the live show. It will be in Atlanta, we can tell you that. Of course, we would love to do a tour, but you got to do one show first to do many, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's a process for us. And yeah.
Someone said different levels of Patreon.
Y'all take food stamps.
I wish no, we baby, did.
We don't, but we do take $8
I wish
a
we
month.
Did.
It's just $8. The and so I see that a lot of y'all came from YouTube, which is great. I will say, moving forward, it may only be accessible through Patreon. We are trying to figure that out. The reason being, and I don't want y'all to feel like we're trying to like shut y'all out. Of course, this was a test run, just trying to see how it works. And I see your question about my birthday. I'll get to that in a second. but Patreon is an exclusive platform that we have specifically for our Screw Crew. So it's twofold. For one, we want to give you guys all the early and exclusive content, you know, the worth. You know, I want your $8 to be worth it, for one. But for two, for us, it is how we pay staff, but it's also how we can help do this live show, how we also pay ourselves. Spoiler alert. podcasting does not pay in the way that you think it pays, and so we do have to pull profit from this. We do this full time. I know I do this full time, and so we do need to pull profit from some places. So we just want to be transparent in for where money is going. I know a lot of people don't feel like, you may not even feel like that's necessary, but I feel like for us, we do want to have a level of transparency so you guys understand, like, yeah, it take money to make money, basically. So we're just trying to do that. And but of course, if you don't have it, it's cool. You can always watch us on YouTube for free every Thursday or wherever else you get your podcast. But if you want that exclusive content, if you want to be a part of the live chat, if you want to do that, it is $8 a month. But you're gonna get your $8 worth. That I can guarantee. Like Denzel Washington, I guarantee it.
And we also have different series. We have our Sidebar series, which is where we sit down and interview fellow content creators across social platforms. We have our obvious live chat now. And then we also have our Screwballs, our Screw Yous. It's kind of like akin to Donkey of the Day, where we cuss out a person, place, or thing that we're not feeling in that particular moment in time. Mm-hmm. And we also have our Slumber mm-hmm. Party series, which Jamila and I save for when we're in person. The only time Jamila acts like she has a vagina. And we like to get a little bit, it gets a little bit freaky in there. I'll say that much.
Just a little bit. To answer your question about my birthday celebration.
You see how she tried to change the subject?
I actually I actually am supposed to be having a call today, I believe, to talk with everybody, my planning committee, or the beginning of what could be my planning committee, for my birthday celebration, which will be on my actual birthday. My birthday is on a Saturday this year because I am what? Blessed. Okay. Yes. Turning 30 on May 30th, 2026. I am planning a huge, big shebang. I don't really have any details other than that as far as like the date. But I am supposed to be talking to them today, and hopefully things are, you know, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But I do want it to be, you know what I'm saying?
Fun.
I want it to be very fun. I'm supposed to start my interviews this week for my Journey to 30 series, which will be on my YouTube. Sidebar, make sure you guys go check out my YouTube. I just dropped a interview with Congressman Greg Lansman. It was really, really good. And I also have my part one to my breast augmentation journey. The consultation has dropped as well. So make sure y'all are subscribed to the YouTube.
Hey, yo, I was on the motherfucking YouTube, had my little nephew trying to find the Blue's Clues. Then I seen something about a new Lil rap pitch. Told him, hold tight. I just had to click that shit. Then I'm like, what? My shit must have got a virus. This is not a rap, bitch. This is Miley Cyrus. So must be something wrong because the beat keep on playing shit. But she on the second verse still not saying shit. So I'm like, oh, my shit acting right. It's just this bitch simply not rapping right. See, I was laying low, y'all. I was on my trap shit. Putting it off. I get back to the rap shit. I'ma let it. Someone hit him with that fire. But I ain't know the need. Was this motherfucking die? I ain't know y'all was listening to these faking ass birds and shit. I ain't know they was making up words and shit. But it's cool. We rolling out the black truck. We riding off. First stop gonna be that slip. Fuck five star. Tell them keys is the galaxy. The rap game is hungry. Tell them that them calories I'm sneezing at these bitches straight. Chickens is an allergy. I don't get gifts. Nigga, put me on the salary. Who was gonna pop off? Go hard. Not soft. I use your last mixtape to wipe my knee snot off. I am an infection. How you gonna stop it? I'm all up in your bloodstream. No antibiotics. They like, Keith, stop it. I'm like, nah, pop shit. Swagger is galactic, and I'ma need a rocket. If bitches want to respond, then I think they shouldn't. I'm out of breath, so I can't finish it, but shout out to Keys. She was the first bitch to eat Nicki Minaj up in Baltimore.
Somebody might need to call her back.
In the jacket with the bang. Yeah.
This way, this bitch is literally out of breath.
I don't know how she was going for so long. It's just, it requires so much energy. All right, y'all. Right. See you next week. Thank you so much to the chat.
See you guys next week. Bye.